I'll match this guy against any in a wrestling match. That's a man's man as far as music is concerned. Appreciate so much his ministry and the men that the Lord has given me to work with. I remember Pastor Brannon texted me this morning. He's sick. He's not here. And remember, pray for him and his healing. Well, when I was thinking about who would start our missions conference off, there's no one better that I could think of than Dr. David Snyder, president and general director of BIMI. And just when I remember, I got to be a part of the voting on him, even though I didn't know him. All I heard was all these good things from other people. So I felt like if I didn't raise my hand, I would be in deep trouble. But when he came on board, and all of us as men had an opportunity to see him and Barb and their love for Christ and their ministry, this young man is just spectacular as far as the position is concerned. And a lot of individuals, pastors across America, have really been blessed by his ministry. We are so thankful that he is the president of BIMI, and we're so confident the direction of BIMI is going to continue through his ministry. This morning he comes to preach to you, and Brother David, I thank God for your testimony. I thank God for your friendship. We love you, and we support you financially and prayer-wise. God bless you. Would you come at this time?
Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. It is great to be with you. I told the folks in Sunday school this morning, and I want to start the same way in this hour as well. Thank you to you as a church for supporting us and our ministry, being one of our supporting churches. We don't take that for granted. That's an honor. And so thank you so much. God is doing some amazing things around the world, and it's just great to have a little part in what God is doing. And just a quick testimony for those of you that were not in the Auditorium Sunday School class. I was saved at the age of 8, called to missions when I was 10. Barb and I spent 10 years in Alaska as church planting missionaries there, first in Juneau and then in Talkeetna. Thought we'd be there the rest of our lives, but God had some other plans for us we didn't know about. Moved us back to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where BIMI is located. I became the Far North Director and did that for 7 years. And then again, God had some other plans we didn't know about. And that's where the story begins, where he talked about just a moment ago, where God moved me into the position of President and General Director of BIMI. And as I told him in Sunday school, all that means is I am in way over my head, okay? And so we really need the prayers of God's people. We have prayer cards back there as well. Please pick up one of those prayer cards and pray with us and for us. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And I am excited about what God is going to do in this missions conference. Already off to a good start with Sunday school this morning, and now this second hour to be together. And as we meet together this week, I would ask you to consider, what would God have me to do specifically in response to the Great Commission? Now, you're in John chapter number 6, and some of you, as you've turned there, may have thought, all right, wait a minute, I think I know what he's going to preach about this morning. You may have gotten it right. Here we find the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, hold on, everybody, here. Before you click that switch and say, you know, I've heard a message on that before, hold on just a second, okay? I want to tell you that anything that God gives us in Scripture, if he gives it to us even one time, it is of utmost importance. Now, in the Bible, other than the miracle of the resurrection, this is the only miracle that is given in all four Gospels of the New Testament. So you see, if God gave this to us four times, it's okay for me to preach this morning, even though you've heard a message on it before. All right, so stay with me. Now, obviously, today, this is the missions conference. And this passage of Scripture, we're going to make application to our lives as it concerns missions and what God would have us to do. John chapter 6, verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, to be here in this hour, in this time. And Lord, I'm just stopping right now at this moment to ask for your help and to ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would not only fill me as the speaker with your Holy Spirit, but Lord, would you fill every listener with your Holy Spirit? Lord, please help us to set aside the cares of this life just for these next few moments, that we might truly focus on you and your word and what you have to say to us. Lord, if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. From this passage of Scripture, there's 3 things that I want us to look at today. Number one, the proving of the disciples. This was a proving, a testing of the disciples. Number two, the provision of food for the people. That's the actual miracle itself and how this took place and what that teaches you and I concerning the Great Commission. And then finally, the proclamation about the bread of life, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. So, first of all, the proving of the disciples. Notice there in verse number 5, the Bible says that Jesus lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes, and the Bible says he saw this great company that was coming to him. Now, the Bible does not use those words by accident, that Jesus lifted up his eyes. In Sunday school here in the auditorium this morning, we talk about John chapter 4, back just a couple of chapters, where Jesus said to his disciples there in verse 35, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Jesus told his disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Why? Because they are white already unto harvest. As we begin this missions conference, I'm asking each and every one of us here today to do just that, to lift up our eyes and look on those fields, that, if you will, great multitude that is before us. 7.5 billion people in our world today. I got to be honest with you, that's a number that I really can't even compute that number. That's an amazing number to me. But Jesus is reminding us of our need to lift up our eyes, to look on the fields, to look on those multitudes and realize we have a job to do. You see, as Jesus lifted his eyes and he looked on this multitude, the book of Mark tells us he did so with compassion. And you and I need to do the same thing. You understand that there is a difference between pity and compassion. You see, pity will look at a particular situation and say, boy, that's terrible. That's bad. I wish that would not have happened. And I feel bad for those folks. I feel bad about that situation. But you see, pity stops right there. But compassion goes another step further. Compassion, if you want a short definition, it is love in action. So compassion looks at that same situation and says, boy, that's terrible, that's bad, that's awful. I wish that would not have happened. And you know what? There's something I can do to help with this situation, and I'm going to do it. And putting love into action, we show compassion. And you and I, as we lift our eyes to look on a lost and dying world, I'm not asking you to do so with pity. I'm asking you to do so with compassion. To put your love into action. And you realize that this missions conference is an opportunity to put our love into action. We can talk all day long about the need in the world and those that need to hear about Christ. But if we just talk about it and we only have pity, we've stopped short of what Jesus wants us to do. We have an opportunity to put our love into action. By the way, aren't you glad that when God looked upon you and I and looked upon the world, he didn't do so just in pity? But he did so with compassion. I'm glad God didn't look at David Snyder and say, boy, I pity him. He's lost. He's undone. Without my son, he's on his way to hell. I'm glad God didn't stop there. But you see, God put his love into action. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and he came to this earth and he died on the cross. He went to the grave and he rose again triumphant so that when I called upon the name of the Lord, I was saved. Amen. Praise God for his compassion. And you and I need to follow that example, to lift our eyes and to look upon the multitudes with compassion. Now, notice Philip here, there's a question that is addressed to him in verse number 5. Jesus says, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, by the way, if Jesus were asking the question, "Where are we going to buy bread so that we can eat?" That's the 12 and Jesus, that would not have been an unusual question. But that's not what Jesus is asking. Jesus says, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" That is the disciples and all that were there. I want to remind you of a very simple theological truth this morning. God never asks a question to gain information. Why? Because God already knows. He is all-knowing. And again, even here in Scripture, in verse 6, the Bible says, "This he said to prove him," that is to test him, to examine him. Why? Because the Bible says, "For he himself knew what he would do." Jesus was not surprised about the situation or the need or how it would get taken care of. Again, I want to remind you, in this missions conference, Jesus Christ is asking Grace Baptist Church, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" That is that 7.5 billion people that we are lifting our eyes and we are looking to in compassion. What an amazing opportunity. But again, I remind you, God's not asking you that question this morning because he's trying to gain information. God already knows. You realize that Jesus is not sitting in heaven this morning wringing his hands thinking, "Boy, how are we going to get these missionaries supported? How are we going to ever get them to the field? How is Grace Baptist Church going to do this?" He's got it worked out. He's just waiting on you and I to be obedient, to use us, to work in and through us, to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. This he says to prove you, to test you. This morning I would ask you this question. Will you pass the test? You say, "Well, preacher, how do I pass the test?" It's pretty simple. Just do whatever God tells you to do in the area of missions. Whatever it is he speaks to your heart about doing, whether it's praying or if it's giving or if it's going, hey, be obedient and do that which he says you are to do. It's a test. Will you pass that test? You see, Philip answered verse number 7. He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. That would probably be maybe 200 days worth of wages. So that's a pretty good chunk of change. But you see, he's doing the math in his head. He's saying, "Boy, if we even had that, it wouldn't be enough for even them. Everybody just take a little bit." But now here comes Andrew. I like Andrew. Verse 9, he says, "There is a lad here." One of the reasons I like Andrew is because he's bringing people to Christ. You see, he already brought his brother Peter to Christ in chapter 1 of John. And later he and Philip will bring some Greeks to Christ in chapter number 12. And by the way, you and I need to bring others to Christ. You know, this missions conference and one of the emphases of this week will be our giving. I want to remind you that as you give to missions, this does not negate our own individual responsibility of bringing people to Christ. This is not just a job for just the preacher and the missionaries and, well, we'll just sit back and watch it get done. No, we give so that others can go in our place, but then we go ourselves. And like Andrew, we bring others to Jesus. But it's interesting here. He says about this lad, "which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." And then he asked this question, "But what are they among so many?" I see just a lack of faith there in Andrew's heart and in his mind, wondering what are they among so many? And I don't know if you see things like this or not when you read Scripture. You know, it says they're 2 small fishes. Have you ever asked yourself the question, would it have really made a difference if they were large fishes? I don't think so. I can tell you about large fishes, by the way. I spent 10 years in Alaska. You know, we would go out, we would catch salmon. I mean, a 15-pound salmon was just an average-sized salmon. When I moved back to the home office there in Chattanooga, they'd come in next morning. You know, some of the guys were talking about, "Hey, I've been out fishing. I caught a 3-pound bass." I said, "Man, that's bait. I don't know what you're talking about." You know, in Alaska, you can catch a halibut. Halibut can get to 300 and 400 pounds. One fish. You see, I can tell you about big fish, But it's not about the size of the fish. It's about the size of the faith that makes all the difference in the world. Because now Jesus gives his answer. And this is point number two this morning, the provision of food for the people. And I love Jesus' answer. It's very simple. Verse 10, he says, make the men sit down. I love that answer because it's as if Jesus is saying, I'm not going to answer your question with words. I'm going to show you the answer to that question. Make the men sit down. And by the way, the book of Mark tells us it's in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And this made it more organized. And they could distribute the food, make the counting easier. There's much grass in the place. And the Bible says, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now, because you've heard this story before, you also remember the book of Matthew says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So how many people were there that day? I don't know. Can we say 10,000 and still be probably a little bit conservative in our estimation? Probably. But you understand, the issue here is not the exact number of people. The issue here is Jesus is showing his disciples that there is no possible way that they in and of themselves could ever feed this number of people with five loaves and two small fishes. And you understand this morning that as you and I lift our eyes, we look on those fields, we do so with compassion. There is no possible way that you and I can do this job in and of ourselves and in and of our own strength. We have to do this job in His strength, remembering that experiencing His strength comes through our weakness. That we are laborers not by ourselves, but we are laborers together with God. And we, like Paul, can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Well, we need to recognize our own weakness and realize God is the one who has to do this work. And He shows the disciples this. The bread and the fish are given out. The Bible says in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves and when he had given thanks, and the book of Mark tells us that he broke the loaves and that he divided the two fishes. Then the Bible says he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And it also says there, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And verse 12 says that they were filled. Now, you know this story and you've heard it before, but I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning that for some of you, this is going to be really simple. For others, it's going to be a little more difficult. When I read Scripture, I like to use my sanctified imagination. This morning, I want you to use your sanctified imagination with me. How do you think this actually took place? We don't know exactly. I admit that right up front. But I'm going to use the basic account that's given to us in Scripture and tell you about my sanctified imagination. You see, as I see this happening in Scripture, I believe Jesus took that basket and he said to his disciples, okay, guys, line up. So this morning here in church with us, we have right here, disciple number one. Here we have disciple number two. And here is disciple number three, number four, number five, all the way down here to disciple number 12. Now, does anybody see these disciples standing up here? Okay, I've got a few of you. This is good, all right? We're making progress. Amen. All right, so they're standing up here. Now, I see Jesus with this basket. It has five loaves and two small fishes and says that he divided them. I'm not sure how he did, but in my sanctified imagination, he takes those five loaves of bread. He breaks them into half each. So that gives us 10 pieces of bread. At least that's the way they taught me math in school, okay? Then we have these two small fishes. So we're going to say he breaks them into half. That gives us 4 pieces of fish. Now, Jesus has given to each of these disciples a basket. So they are all standing up here and each of them has an empty basket in their hand. Now, by the way, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are saying, now, preacher, where did he get 12 empty baskets to give to each of those disciples? To you, I say this. This is my sanctified imagination, okay? Just take it easy on me. But besides that, does not the Bible say that when they were done, they took up 12 baskets of the fragments that remained and were left over? So now imagine this with me. As Jesus takes this basket, he comes over to disciple number one. He gives him piece of bread number one. And then to disciple number two, piece of bread number two. And then to number three, number four, number five, all the way down to disciple number 10. Have you ever thought about this? Who was disciple number 11? You know these guys were watching this happen. They had it all counted out. I don't know who this was, but I think it was Philip. Remember the one that said 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. Can you imagine as Jesus now reaches into his basket and pulls out piece of bread number 11 and gives it to disciple number 11? I don't know about you. I would love to have been a disciple down here. I think I'd be standing there staring at that piece of bread. You know, because then again, disciple number 12, Jesus again reaches into his basket, pulls out piece of bread number 12, puts it into the basket of disciple number 12. And again, if it were me, I'd just be amazed because I'd realize I'm holding bread that was just created by the creator of the universe. Now, folks, you talk about fresh bread. It doesn't get any fresher than that. That's as good as it gets. But I got to remind you, the miracle's not over. Because remember, now Jesus comes back to disciple number one, and he gives him piece of fish number one, and then to disciple number two, piece of fish number two, and then number three, and then number four. And have you ever thought about who disciple number five was? I don't know, but in my sanctified imagination, I think it's Andrew. Remember the one that talked about the two small fishes? But what are they among so many? Can you imagine now as Jesus reaches into his basket and puts some really fresh fish into the basket of disciple number five? Amazing. And then again for number six and number seven, all the way down to disciple number 12. Again, I don't know about you all. I would love to be on this end of the line, just standing there staring at this bread and this fish that didn't exist just moments prior to Jesus coming down this line. This is amazing. But I got to remind you, the miracle's not over. Because now Jesus says to the disciples, okay, fellas, go feed the people. Now, would you just be honest with yourself this morning? Imagine, what would you do now? How would you handle that? How would you move forward to go do what you were told to do? I'm just going to be transparent with you this morning. I lack faith sometimes. Too often, actually. But probably what I would do is I would go find a group of 50 rather than 100, you know, because the food would go further with a group of 50 rather than 100. And I probably would go to that group of 50 and I'd say, now listen, folks, I don't have a lot here, but I'm going to give you half of what I have. Here's the bread. Here's the fish. Listen, folks, if you just treat this as an appetizer, you know, just enough to get you home. We want to try and take care of you. We don't want you to starve to death. So just a little bit. And that's the best we can do. You know, I'd probably go find me another group of 50 then, another small group, you know, and I'd say to this group, now listen, I'm just going to give you all I have. I just got a little bit of bread here. I've got a little fish. And, you know, y'all just take that, just use it as an appetizer. And it's all we have. What would you do now? I don't know, but, you know, I think I'd have to go to the next group and say to them, now, folks, I have no idea what I'm going to give you. But you know, the master has said we're supposed to come and feed you from what he's given us. And I'm just going to reach into my basket here. And you know what? I've got some bread here for you. Why don't you just take this whole thing and y'all just enjoy. And matter of fact, I think I probably, yeah, sure enough, I've got some fish here to go along with that bread. Man. You know, at that point, I'd have to come back over here to group number one. And I'd have to apologize to them for my lack of faith. I'd have to say, now, folks, now listen, I've got, yeah, I sure do. Here's some more bread, and yeah, here's some more fish. And you know what? Y'all eat hearty. I'll come back and give you more if you want some more. This is getting good. You know, I'd have to come back over here to the second group. I'd have to apologize to them and say, man, I am so sorry for my lack of faith. And yeah, here it is. Here's the second loaf, and here's some more fish. You eat what you want. I'll come back and give you more. Now, folks, I don't know if you've ever thought about that. That must have gone on for hours to get all of that bread and all of that fish to all of those people. What an amazing thing it must have been to be one of those disciples and to be involved in that miracle. Wow. But I got to tell you, you realize that God allows you and I to be involved in a miracle just like that, spiritually speaking? It's called faith promise giving. It's called grace giving. You say, now, preacher, where is grace giving? Where is faith promise giving in that story? Well, let me tell you. You see, when we give to God for missions, grace giving, faith promise giving, we are to give that offering to Jesus, just as that lad gave his lunch to Jesus. You say, well, wait a minute, how do I give an offering to Jesus? Well, does not the Bible say that the church is his body? So we bring that offering and we give that offering to the local church. And the local church does what with that offering? Well, they pray over it and then they divide it and they distribute that missions money to who? Missionaries. I.e. disciples, as we've seen them in this story. And then those disciples, those missionaries, take that which is given to them and they go out to people groups of 50 and 100 and 50,000 and 100,000 and yea, even millions upon billions of people and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. I don't know about you, but I love being part of this miracle called missions giving. Grace giving. What an amazing opportunity God gives us to be involved in this. Now, there's a lot of things we need to learn from this. Number one, we need to be like that lad. We need to give, if you will, our lunch to Jesus. Now, I had two boys, and when they turned into teenagers, man, they ate a lot. They still eat a lot. And you know what? I'm not so sure it was easy for that lad to give up his lunch, but he did. And you know, sometimes Jesus asks us to give up some things that are pretty near and dear to our hearts. But when he asks us, we need to just obey and give him that which he asks for. Now, I'll remind you, by the way, this lad didn't just step back and say, well, you know, Jesus, when God gives me a really special offering or something special, I'll give that. But until then, I'm going to hold on to what I have. You know, when it comes to faith promise giving, there's to be a performance out of that which we have. What we already have in our hand, that's what Jesus is looking at. And we need to give that which he asks us to give. And let me say this, give all that he asks for. I'm glad that lad didn't bargain with the Lord and say, Lord, well, I've got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. How about if I just give you one of each because I better save the rest for a rainy day? No, wait a second. In this particular story, Jesus asked for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that's what he gave. Now, I realize, you see, everybody in this auditorium, we're all different as far as our finances, our lives, our circumstances. And you know what? God knows about all those. And you know, from some folks over here, God's going to ask for 7 loaves and he's going to ask for 5 fish. There's going to be some folks over here, God said, just 1 loaf and 1 fish is all I'm asking for. Some over here, maybe 2 of each. Some over here, I want 10 of each. Some over here, maybe 7 fish and 2 loaves. The bottom line is this, we need to determine, what does God want us to give? And ask that question of the Lord, even today, this week, in this conference, God, what would you have me to give to missions? And then whatever it is he tells you to give, give it. Be faithful. Give out of that which you have and give all that he asks you to give. But there's one other thing I got to mention here, and a lot of other things we could mention. But you see, in our story this morning, these disciples, they finished passing out the bread and the fish, and they're lined back up here again, disciple number 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down to disciple number 12 down here. Now, do y'all see the disciples? Okay, I've gained several of you. That's good, all right? We are really making progress today. This is great. I want to remind you that these disciples, they represent missionaries. I want to remind you this morning that the laborers are few. There is a tremendous need for more missionaries. Dare I say that as you talk with these missionaries this week, whether they've been to the field for a long time, whether they're going to the field, one of the things that you will probably hear from most of them is this: we need help. We need more laborers. I've traveled the world over, and as I meet with missionaries, they're on the field, they're saying, preacher, go back and tell them we need more laborers. You know, we started this process called deputation some 27 plus years ago. And as we did, we would travel, we would be in conferences. It was very normal that in those conferences, at least one person or one family would surrender to missions. That was the norm. Sometimes it was 2, and we really rejoiced in that. And it was really special when it was 3. And I talk to men at BIMI who've been in this business for 50 years plus. And they tell me there were times when they would preach that if nobody surrendered, there was something really wrong. I want to tell you, we've gone to the opposite side of that now. The conference is where I preach. I'm just praying, God, just give us one. Just give us one family who will come and surrender to missions. But I know what it is in most cases. I hear it over and over again. Preacher, How could I leave this place? This is the only place I've ever known. I don't know anywhere else in the world. How could I go to Bible college and learn all of that stuff, especially Greek? How could I go to some other country and learn some other language? I've been working on English all my life, and I still don't have that down. You know, how could I go and win somebody to Christ? How could I plant a church? How could I disciple others? To you that have that thought in your mind, I want to remind you that just like these disciples could in no way ever feed all of those people in their own strength, there is no way any of us will ever go to the mission field and do any of those things without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He asked us to do this not in our own strength, but in His power and His strength. Dare I say, when these disciples got done, there wasn't one of them who said, "Wow, look at what I did today." I believe they all said, "Wow, look at what the Lord has done today." Now, I've got to hurry on. I'd love to tell you more about my sanctified imagination in this story. And one other thing that I just have to mention, have you ever thought about what they did with those 12 baskets? See, I'm really concerned that they don't waste food, you know, and I wonder about that. What did they do with those 12 baskets? I can't promise you that I know for sure, but I can tell you that my sanctified imagination says they gave those 12 baskets to that lad. The reason I say that is because the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, 12 baskets full." No, it doesn't say that, but you get the point. You can't outgive God, no matter how hard you try. And you know, I don't know, but if that did happen, can you imagine as that lad goes home with those 12 baskets and he says, "Mom, here's what's left over from the lunch that you gave me this morning." Moms, can you hear that mom saying, "Son, what have you been up to today?" But can you imagine as that son gets to tell that mom this amazing story about what Jesus did with those 5 loaves and those 2 small fishes that she had put in his lunch that morning. What a story that son, that lad, had to tell for the rest of his life. By the way, the same story you and I get to tell for the rest of our lives. It's a story about Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, which is our final point this morning, the proclamation about the bread of life. Very quickly, look with me in verse 47 down through verse 51 here of John chapter number 6. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." I remind you this morning from verse 47 that eternal life comes through Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. He said there, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." I remind you that the opposite of that is also true. Those who do not believe on Him do not have eternal life. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Very simply, if someone just lives their life, however, whether moral, immoral, or anywhere in between, but if there's never a time in their life that they can point to and say, "That's when I believed on Jesus," the Bible says if they die in that state, they will spend an eternity in a place called hell. You see, Jesus goes on and he says that he is that bread of life, verse 48. Verse 49, he reminds us that earthly bread, it only sustains us for a short period of time. He says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness." And by the way, that was definitely some bread from heaven, but that was not the bread from heaven. Because he says about them, "and are dead." I talk to people sometimes who say, "Listen, I get that salvation thing. I understand I need to believe on Jesus, but you see, I'm young. I'm healthy. You see, I have a lot of time still left on this earth." And if maybe that's your mindset this morning, I would ask you this question. Can you prove that? You do realize that one blood clot can change or end your life in a matter of seconds. Are you ready to meet God? He is the bread of life, and we must partake of Him, the living bread. Verse 50 says that the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus said, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. He says, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. You see, manna sustained life, but Jesus Christ gives eternal life. He says, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What's Jesus talking about there? He's talking about his death, giving his body to die on the cross for the sins of the world. I'm going to close with this thought this morning, and I really want you to think about this. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Why is his death so important? Why did he have to give his life for salvation? You see, the reason is because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, by the way, I've read the Bible through many times. I will tell you, there is only one wage or one payment for sin, and it is death. That being the case, there are two options that all of us have this morning. Option number one is this. We can live our lives however we want, moral, immoral, anywhere in between. But if we die having never received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible says we will spend an eternity in that place we mentioned a moment ago called hell. And I remind you, hell is real. It's not just some cuss word that we hear used in the world all the time. It's a real, awful, horrible, and eternal place. And the Bible says that all unbelievers will spend an eternity in that place called, and here's what the Bible says, Revelation 21:8, the second death. The wages of sin is death. Now, you might be here this morning saying, hey, listen, I'm a good person. I talk to a lot of people about salvation. They say, listen, I'm going to heaven because I'm a Catholic. I'm going to heaven because I'm a Lutheran. I'm going to heaven because I'm a Presbyterian. I'm going to heaven because I'm, preacher, I haven't even heard this one. I'm a good independent Baptist. How sad. I remind you this morning that salvation has nothing to do with a religion, but has everything to do with a relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. The wages of sin is death. That's option one. And I got to tell you, I don't like option one. I love telling you about option two. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, option two is this. Jesus Christ died. That's why his death is so important. And because he has died, he has paid the price for sin. And you and I now have the opportunity, if you will, to put his death in place of our death. The wages of sin is death. Will it be our own, if you will, for all eternity in that place called the second death? Or will we receive what Jesus Christ has done? Realizing, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Calling upon his name for salvation. Realizing, it's not my good works. It has nothing to do with my church. But the need to call upon him for salvation, to be born again. Well, dear friend, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg of you, come to him today. We're going to have a moment of invitation, and we're going to invite you to come so that somebody can show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Would you stand with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? This is that time of invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want you to consider what we've talked about today from John chapter number 6. The story of this lad, these disciples, and Jesus, and all that he has to teach us through this story, but specifically the fact that he is the bread of life. This invitation this morning is a twofold invitation. Here's the first part of this invitation. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, we want you to come to the front. There's some men, there's some ladies right down front here, and they'll meet you. And I just want you to say to them, hey, I'm not sure I'm saved, or I need to be saved. And you say, well, what happens when I tell them that? Well, if you're a lady, we're going to find a lady that will open the Bible and show you how to be saved today. If you're a man, we'll find a man who will take the Bible and he'll show you from God's Word how you can know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you were to die today, you would be on your way to heaven. As the pianist begins to play, this is a time of invitation. If God's speaking to your heart, you know, hey, I'm not saved, or I might not be saved, I'm not sure about my salvation, There's men standing right down front. You just come, talk with them right now. Just step out. You say, well, there's a lot of people in front of me. Hey, they will be glad to let you through. As they come and as they consider that, dear Christian friend, what about you? Are you like that lad? Are you willing to be like that lad? To give out of that which you have, to give all that he asks you to give it to him and allow him to do things with that gift that you could never do in a million years in and of yourself. Are you willing today to just say, God, help me to be like that lad? Or perhaps you would pray and say today, God, I want to line up with those missionaries. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about being a what we call full-time missionary on some foreign field somewhere, serving Jesus Christ, doing that, again, which you cannot do, but he desires to do through you. Christian, if God's spoken to you, we invite you to come. Even right now, come and just talk with the Lord. If there's nothing else you pray about right now, would you say, God, help me to know exactly what you want me to do in the area of missions. Pastor's coming. He's going to take the invitation. I'm just asking you to obey the Lord at this time.
In your hymn books, 562, Christians praying, Christians with open hearts. If God has dealt with your heart this morning, then would you respond to the word? As we sing this invitation hymn, you be praying that the Lord will work even during this time and touch hearts and lives, and be willing to surrender yourself as we sing.
Just love.